Do you believe in miracles? What about healings? Most Christians believe in both of these things, but what exactly do you believe about them? In this episode of Mavericks and Misfits, Jeff Lyle will seek to stretch us concerning what Scripture says about the gifts of healings and miracles. Both cessationists and charismatics have some presumptions about these two gifts that desperately need to be submitted to what the Scriptures say. Ultimately, the teachings of Jesus and the Apostle Paul serve both to humble us and motivate us toward greater understanding and experience with these two glorious gifts of the Spirit.
I want to open up today by saying thank you to those who have emailed and or who I've bumped into and have made mention of the podcast, especially the recent episodes on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm always encouraged to know that people are listening. I think one of the things I committed to a long time ago, and it's a biblical conviction, I'm saying everybody has to have it, but I do, is not to do investigation into numbers. With our TV ministry over the years, with downloads on apps, with how many followers and all that stuff. You know, King David got in trouble with the Lord for taking a census of the size of his army and really cost Israel and David quite a bit towards the end of David's life. And I learned from that lesson that you just do the work. Just put in the work, do what you're supposed to do, and leave the results to God, and don't get enamored with the metrics of who's listening, who's following, and all that. Having said that, it's just encouraging when I bump into people or I get an email and it says, "Hey, man, God's using this podcast in our lives. Thank you." And I just want to say, well, thank you back. Thank you for listening, and let's both just give thanks to God that what He is giving me and I'm giving you have a mutual benefit. I love doing the podcast. It's one of the easiest things that I do in ministry. Because literally it's about four pieces of equipment and each podcast takes about a total of 1 hour to both record and produce. And we put it in the Google Drive and then my team takes care of it and gets it to your ears. And to know that God uses simplicity like an audio podcast to enrich people in the faith means all the world to me, and I'm grateful for it. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit for several weeks now. Got probably a couple more weeks to go. One of the things that people have asked, like, "Hey, man, are you going to deal with why the cessationists, those who don't believe in the continuance of the gifts, are you going to address where they get that idea from?" And the answer is, yes, I am. I'm absolutely going to address it, and I'm going to share with you out of 1 Corinthians 13 the what I call the flimsy nail that the doctrine of cessationism hangs upon. And I'll deal with that in a different episode. But today I want to talk to you about two biggies, miracles and healings, healings and miracles. These are gifts. They're not just events, they're gifts. The Bible speaks of the gifts of healings. Yes, I said it plural on purpose. I'm going to talk to you about that. And the gift of miracles. These are two separate gifts that are in the 1 Corinthians 12 list of gifts. And you see them all throughout Scripture. And these are gifts that are still valid today. A lot of the stuff about miracles really bothers people because there's a lot of misconceptions about, hey, if the gift is real, man, how come you're all not spending your time down at the hospital raising the sick? And why aren't you in the burn ward and the cancer ward and all of that? And I get the idea behind those questions, but most of the time questions like that are just kind of thrust forward as a means by which people are saying this gift isn't real anymore. And so I'm going to share with you today on the gifts of healings and the gift of miracles. And I'm probably going to run the risk of bothering both sides of the aisle on this. I am probably not your standard charismatic when it comes to gifts of healings. I am willing to be wrong. I base what I believe about gifts of healings on what I read in Scripture, and then I test what I see by way of experience in my own ministry and life and what I've seen all throughout Christendom. And I have probably a slight departure from what most of my friends in the charismatic church believe. And again, I'll just humbly submit to you, maybe this is why I don't see a ton of healings. I can hear my charismatic friends saying, "Jeff, if you just change the way you believe, you'd see more healings." Well, I'm willing to say this: God increase my faith but I don't think my faith is ever going to run in conflict with what the revealed word of God says. So I have some things I'm working through that I'll share in this episode today. It may touch some of you. The one thing I don't want any listener to do is think that anything I teach gives you reason to believe less in God. Okay? That's never a goal of mine. I want people to believe more in God, but I allow for the reality that we just can't borrow somebody else's faith. We just can't scream it loud because we heard somebody else scream it loud. You know, faith is personal. You've got to come to your own personal securing of what you believe, and you will act according to what you believe. And so I see a lot of people barking out things that are presumably spoken in faith. And it could be just rhetoric. It could be you just are parroting what somebody else said. You need to get your own faith. And, you know, we got to minister according to the measure of faith. That's Romans chapter number 12. Maybe that's 1 Peter 4. I think it's both maybe. I don't know. 1 Peter 4 and Romans chapter 12, one of those or both of those connect the manner in which we're using the spiritual gifts that we have. It connects it with the measure of faith. So I don't like faking anything. I don't like just, you know, declaring something when I know in my spirit, hey, I actually don't have faith for that at that level that I'm declaring it. So let's be honest and forthright. God will bless our humility and honesty more than he'll bless our bravado and bluster. A lot of people mistake enthusiasm for faith or adrenaline for faith. Faith is more than just loud and repetitive statements. We've actually got to believe what we're saying. So I've opened up most of these little lessons on the gifts of the Spirit, reading 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10, just like I did last time. And it says this, to each Christian is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We've already touched on that. Every Christian has a deposit of the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Holy Spirit for the common good. And then Paul writes, to one Christian is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith. I covered word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and faith in the last episode. I encourage you to listen to that if you didn't. And then it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, various kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so we'll talk about some of these other ones in a different time. But today we read this, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles. Okay, so let's talk about healing, okay? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit endows certain Christians with the gift of healing. I'll say it in the English language. That's typically how you hear it. The gift of healing. However, in the Greek language, which was the original language that your New Testament was written in, Koine Greek, it is actually plural. It is gifts, plural, of healings, plural. Now, why do I bother with that? Well, one, this is a teaching series on the gifts, so I'm going to teach. It can't all be shit about a Honda about a Hyundai. It's got to be, you know, teaching. And the plural format of the Greek language could be indicating various gifts, multiple gifts, different gifts for various kinds of sicknesses or afflictions. So when it says gifts of healings, it doesn't just say gift of healing, as if one person has the gift of healing for all afflictions, all infirmities, all diseases. I would point you back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12, where the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts to the people he chooses, and he gives them for the purposes in which he has determined these gifts to be used. And he also gives them in a variety of means. That means the same gift can work with variety among different Christians. So we don't want to box in the gifts. We do have some clear objective understanding about the gifts, but you need to remember that Jesus taught that the one who moves in the Holy Spirit is like the wind. He taught this in John chapter 3 when he's speaking to Nicodemus. He says the one who's born of the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it goes once it's blown past you. And so the person operating in the gifts of the Spirit is less like a box to be opened and more like a wind that is blowing. So let's be real careful that we don't, again, box in the gifts of the Spirit. And so when we're looking at the gifts of healings, I think that the revealing of this gift in the New Testament, it actually, the way it's revealed, seems to prevent us from deciding that one individual possesses this gift to utilize at his or her will. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have faith to heal in a moment of time, but it's not like you can just walk around and put your hands on everybody and anybody at any moment and boom, they're healed. That's not even the way it worked in the New Testament, which frustrates some charismatics when I say that. But it is not the revelation of Scripture does not indicate that individuals could just go by and tap somebody, you know, walk through a crowd of 1,000 people, tap each one, and everybody's instantly healed. That's not the way it's portrayed in Scripture. That's not the way that our own experience bears it out. And sadly, that's why a lot of people who don't believe in the gifts will say, aha, if you had the gift of healing, you'd be down healing everybody with a touch. Well, I say to you that are cessationists, that's not the way it worked in Scripture. That's not even what Jesus did. Everybody that came to Jesus asking to be healed was healed. But you remember when he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda? He was the only guy that got healed. And the Bible is very clear that there was a multitude of sick and infirm people laying at the pool of Bethesda. Only one got healed. So leave it alone. Quit trying to make a formula and force your formula on people and the gifts of healings. Why? Because each potential healing requires a special endowment for that moment. And that endowment's got to come from the Holy Spirit, and it's passed through the faith-filled release of the person exercising the gift in the moment. In Scripture, I mean, and I would say by experience, this seems to be more the case than a constant enablement being permanently granted to the person who is empowered to heal at will. I mean, obviously, if any of us had the power to heal at will, we would be down at the hospital. I'd never leave. I would just set up life down at a hospital. I'd heal everybody. But that's not the way the gift is portrayed in Scripture, and it's not the way that experience bears it out. So we need to slow down and think about this. So think about the Apostle Paul. Let's acknowledge a couple of things. Paul healed numerous people instantly and miraculously. There's no doubt about it. We see that the Apostle Paul healed people instantly and miraculously on numerous occasions. But did you know that Scripture also says that he did not heal, or maybe even was unable to heal if he tried, a man named Trophimus, another man named Epaphroditus? You read about Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4:20. You read about Epaphroditus, who was Paul's companion. He was not instantly healed of some illness that was actually threatening his life. That's in Philippians 2. So Paul was in it says, I believe, about Trophimus that Paul left him at Miletus sick. Paul had the gift of healing. He exercised it. Yet he did not heal Trophimus. He did not heal Epaphroditus. Here's my guess. The Scripture doesn't explain it. My guess is he did everything with Trophimus and Epaphroditus that he did with all the other people he successfully healed, but these men were not healed. There's no getting around it, friends. Don't be offended at that. Don't get mad at me about that. What does the Bible say? Now, eventually, Epaphroditus was healed. But it was after a prolonged season of battle with some sickness. So he was not healed instantly. He was, I believe, miraculously healed or healed by the power of God when it came, but it wasn't instant. And so Paul ascribed that healing in Philippians 2, 25, 26, and 27. He ascribed it to the healing by God's power. Now, what about Timothy? Do you remember Timothy is referenced by Paul as having frequent recurring stomach issues? And Paul actually prescribed the use of wine. That would have been a medicinal treatment in that day. Paul said, do not just drink water, drink wine for your stomach issues. It was literally wine as a medicinal, a very primitive medicinal prescription to heal or to at least soothe Timothy's recurring stomach issues. So instead of miraculously healing Timothy, Paul prescribed the use of the wine. Now, why is that? When Paul, that was his son in the faith. So Paul himself describes what we probably should assume is a physical affliction at various points and was not healed. If you read 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, and then Paul mentions an affliction of his eyes in Galatians 4, 13, 14, and 15, Why was Paul not able to heal himself or Timothy? Guys, these are questions that have to be asked. And thinking, biblically informed Christians will ask these questions and will never come away with the idea, well, God doesn't heal anymore. It's foolish. I've read writers that said, yeah, they would say to me, Jeff, the ones you just referenced were towards the end of Paul's ministry. And that shows and proves that the gifts of healings were tapering off even as Paul was getting older and getting ready to die. Well, that's fine if you believe that. The Bible says nothing of that sort. The Bible just leaves a tension that there is very much availability for instant, miraculous healing through the gift of healing or the gifts of healings. And the gifts of healings, both plural, seem to indicate certain endowments of faith and healing power for certain afflictions, and therefore a different gift of healing would be for a different affliction at a different time. It's not portrayed in Scripture as a singular, unilateral endowment to heal all illnesses at all times. That is not in the Bible. And I appreciate all of my charismatic brothers and sisters that say, well, you just got to have faith and everybody's going to be healed, including you. Well, I would sign off on that statement, except for the way it's packaged. Oh, you just got to have faith. You just got to have faith. You just got to have faith. Do you think Paul had faith? Do you think Paul had faith? But Trophimus and Epaphroditus and Timothy didn't get their instant miracle healing. Paul must not have had faith. Well, we know that's not true. What we find out is we slow down a little bit before we keep regurgitating cliches and saying to everybody, all you got to do is have faith. Let's go a little deeper. Let's slow down. Let's humble ourselves and not turn things into a formula. Do the gifts of healings flow through faith when they occur? Absolutely. And you have to have faith in that moment. But I'm not one who's ready to stand up and say Paul didn't have faith because Trophimus and Epaphroditus and Timothy didn't get their miraculous healing. I'm just going to say maybe it's more complex. Now, again, for those of you that just don't, you don't have an issue, just like, Jeff, I ain't listening to none of this. I got faith for healing, my own healing and the healing of others. Good. Operate in it. And just recognize that if there ever comes a time where the healing that you had faith for doesn't occur, please don't blame the person for not having faith. Because Paul had faith, and one day he had to walk away from Epaphroditus and say to him, bro, I don't know why that healing hasn't come yet. Trophimus, I've got to leave. I've got to head out of Miletus. And again, if you want to read about these, read in 2 Timothy 4:20, where Trophimus got left by Paul at Miletus, having not received a healing. I couldn't imagine Paul saying, yeah, I just don't got faith for this, man. I don't know what happened. But all I would say is this. Healings require faith almost all of the time. But when a healing doesn't occur, can we slow down for a moment and not say somebody didn't have faith? Now, when it comes to the gifts of healings, I'm going to encourage you. It's not wise to presume upon predictable absolute capacities and results in every case. Every case should be approached with an intentional dependence upon the Holy Spirit to bring the healing to pass in the moment. Don't just draft off the, you know, the fumes of the last week's healing. Well, this is just what we do. I lay my hands on them. I do a couple of Shabba Dabba Dabbas. I declare healing in the name of Jesus. And if they have faith, they're healed. That's not the way you see it in Scripture. I think each case needs to be approached with a moment in that moment of time, intentional dependence upon the Holy Spirit to bring that particular healing to pass. And I would say it's equally unwise, even unbiblical, to hold to a notion that healing only comes through the sovereign will of God, independently of the trust or the prayers or the obedience or the faith and the proactive pursuit of healing by Christians. You know, the other side of the coin is, I've dealt with kind of the charismatic overreach sometimes with healing. You know, just like, you know, it's almost like, abracadabra, you're healed. That's the way it seems sometimes. But the other side of the aisle is people saying, well, God will heal if it's God's will. If it's God's will, God will do it. We don't need faith. We don't need laying on of hands. We don't need prayers. We don't need any of that. God is sovereign, and whom he will heal, I'm like, you're not going to back that up by scripture either. It comes with a lot of Reformed people, a lot of Reformed Calvinistic people who honor and revere the Word of God. Somehow they get amnesia when it comes to the Word. I'm not being ugly, I'm being true. Forgive me if it's got an edge on it, but I hear this all the time. I get a lot of pushback from Calvinists and Reformed guys who are mad at me because I'm no longer a Reformed Baptist. And they're like, hey, man, you're diminishing the honor of God. Let God heal who he wants to heal. Excuse me. Well, when you read the scriptures, and especially the study of the gifts come by faith. They're exercised by faith. We are to pursue the gifts, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. We see the laying on of hands of people in the Bible, the anointing of oil, James 5, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, heal the sick. It's right there in the Bible. And so if God's going to sovereignly heal whoever he wants and sovereignly not heal whoever he doesn't want to heal, why is there even any instruction in the Word of God about us laying our hands on people, anointing them with oil, and praying in faith for them to be healed? So that it's unbiblical to just simply throw your hands up and say, it doesn't matter if we trust, it doesn't matter if we pray, it doesn't matter if we obey the commands to anoint with oil and lay on hands, it doesn't matter if we proactively pursue the healing of ourselves or other Christians, God is sovereign and will do whatever he wants to do. It's a cop-out. Healing ministry flows from the submitted intentional partnership with God. We partner with God. We are Christians who partner by faith with God. Faith, trust, obedience, and humility, and surrender. And so the gifts of healings, they can be impacted by elements of faith. They can be impacted by your level of personal holiness. They can be impacted by power that is accessed, sometimes gained through fasting and obedience to God's prescribed means of healing. Okay? I mean, in Matthew chapter 10, remember this? Jesus proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here's what you're to say, disciples. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's what you're to do. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the leopard. Not the leopard. The lepers. Cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. Commands. Jesus commanded his disciples, and you have to say, well, that was just the original disciples. He doesn't expect that of us anymore. Then why are the gifts of the Spirit seen beyond the original disciples, the original 12? 1 Corinthians 12 was not written to all the original 12 disciples. It was written to Christians. So heal the sick, Jesus said. Raise the dead, Jesus said. Cleanse lepers, Jesus said. Cast out demons. And again, James chapter 5, is anybody among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Let the elders pray over the one who is sick. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Pardon me. Guys, we just keep trying to improve upon the word. I hope when I'm dead and gone, I hope I've at least left 100 people on earth who are dogmatic just to say, we don't understand it all, but we know how to obey. Where the word is specific, we will obey. Where the word is not specific, we will press in to ask God what to do. Where the word prohibits something, we will not do that which is prohibited. So when my Bible tells me that if I am sick, to call on the elders of my church, by the way, the initiative is on the sick person. Don't get mad when the elders don't show up at your house when you didn't ask them to. Don't get mad when nobody knocked on your door. If you want to be prayed over by the elders of your church and anointed with oil, the Bible commands you to reach out to them. And then when you do, they are to show up, anoint you with oil, pray over you. And the Bible says that very clearly, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. So it is by faith. It is by obedience. It's not just the sovereign will of God. And so I went a little long on the healings. But just remember, in the gospel and the act, in the book of Acts, repeated examples of healings. Healings by apostles. Healings by deacons. Healings by prophets. Healings by elders. And then there's non-apostolic healing ability that is described to us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 29, Mark chapter 16, and verse 18, and Luke chapter 10, verse 8. Quit saying it's just the gift given to the original 12, and when they died, it doesn't exist anymore. That's crazy talk. Your Bible doesn't support that. Why is Paul talking to, can we call them everyday Christians in the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Romans, why is he talking to them about gifts of healings if it only applied to the original 12? That is a foolish conclusion to reach. So guys, I just want to say this. I want us to get low and humble. Charismatic Christians, quit operating in some declaration that you don't even have faith for. Get the faith and then declare. If you've got the faith, declare it. But help others who don't have the faith. Don't shame them because their healing didn't come and just say, y'all didn't have faith. My Lord, that is not something Jesus would do. He wouldn't shame somebody because their miracle didn't come. And so, and again, if you're living and alive and listening to this, your miracle can still come. But we have got to quit playing games with this issue of healings, okay? All right, what about miracles? Let me take a sip real quick. What about miracles? Miracles can include healings, but ultimately miracles are better viewed as supernatural power over the natural order, okay? It's something that happens outside of the natural order that can't be explained by natural means. Healings can fit under that, but it's not limited to that. So you're going to find miracles all throughout the Bible. The splitting of the Red Sea, that was a miracle. The rotation of the earth that was stopped in the book of Joshua, chapter 10 and 2 Kings 20, that was a miracle. It defied natural order. Elijah and the supply of oil, and the supply of grain, 1 Kings 17, that is a miracle. The fiery furnace, Daniel and his, the guys in the book of Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, survived the fiery furnace, miracle. The water into wine in John 2, miracle. Deliverance from demons, that is a miracle all throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts. Peter walking on water, it was short-lived, but it was a miracle. Jesus walking on water, a miracle. What about when Paul cursed Elymas, the sorcerer, with blindness? Paul took his sight away by invoking the name of the Lord. That's Acts 13. That's a miracle. It's a scary one, but it's a miracle. And then you got the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28. Paul got bit by a poisonous viper and did not die. That is a miracle. I could go on and on and on. Miracles simply look at the natural order and say, we're not going to subject this moment to the natural order. We're welcoming God, the Holy Spirit, to do something above and beyond the natural order of things. You know, Jesus said that this was a gift that would be given. Amazing statement in John 14, 12. Jesus says, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Did you catch that? Jesus said, the ones who believe in me will do miracles. The works that I do. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, Jeff, I do. The Bible says, actually, strengthening it, Jesus' own mouth said, you're going to do the works that I do and even greater works than I do, you're going to do because I'm going to be with you and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. It's a great moment to decide whether or not you're going to believe your Bible or not. You and I should believe that we are candidates to work miracles and it's actually expected of us. That we should be able to defy at times the natural order of things. Matthew 21. Verse 20, the disciples saw a miracle. They marveled, saying, it was the fig tree. How did the fig tree wither at once? Remember, Jesus cursed the fig tree. It was perfectly healthy. It was alive. Jesus cursed it. They come back the next day. The fig tree is dead. And they said, how did that happen? And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, if you have faith and don't doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now, there you go. That's where people, you know, they're not, when people emphasize faith or the lack of faith as being the determining factor of whether or not every miracle occurs exactly as it should. They're not just pulling this out of thin air. There are statements in Scripture, that, and you got to look at the whole of Scripture. You can't take an isolated verse here and there, but it's very clear to me that every miracle, every healing that happens is attached on our end in this epic, in this era. It's attached to our faith. But when you see the unilateral usage, almost the hijacking of this principle, and declaring that every miracle doesn't happen is because somebody didn't have faith, I just can't sign off on that. I just can't do it. What this does do is it leaves me in a tension that says, Jeff, you need more faith if you expect to see more breakthrough. I believe that. I believe there have been opportunities that I have missed concerning miracles and healings that were due to my lack of faith in the moment. I believe that. But I also believe there are moments where I've had long, prolonged faith, and it did not come to pass. And so I get left in this place of, oh God, I don't understand. Help me. What does it do? It does not compel me to give up. I don't give up when my miracle or a miracle on behalf of somebody else doesn't come through. It just makes me say there is more for me to glean, more for me to understand, more for me to press into, because it's there. The power is there. I need to figure out what my part is in making myself positioned to receive it. I hope that motivates you and doesn't discourage you. I can already feel like 100 emails being sent to me by charismatic people saying, you're preaching heresy. No, I'm not preaching heresy. I'm just honestly confessing that this is where a lot of us live, and we can't hide behind cliches, and we can't borrow somebody else's faith. We need it for ourselves. So instead of emailing, maybe just pray for us. I do have faith. I do believe in all of this. I just don't have the breakthrough record in healings and miracles. By the way, most people on podcasts will not tell you this about themselves. I am not looking to be your savior. I am not looking to be your example. I am not wanting you to say, I got to be more like Jeff. I want you to shoot past me and long to be more like Jesus. And if part of me helping you is to confess you're not the only one who wrestles with this stuff, I wrestle with it from time to time, good. I'm glad I say it. I'm glad it's out there, even if it costs me credibility with some of you that flow more easily in the gift of faith. So pray for us that don't flow that easily in it. We want to see miracles and healings. Rather than getting mad at us or condemning us, pray for us. And come lay hands on us in the name of Jesus. Impart to us what you have. But even the most faith-filled, miracle healing working people I know don't have a 100% record. And I just don't think it's wise to blame where we don't see breakthrough and healing. Don't blame it on somebody else's lack of faith. Now, let me finish with Mark chapter 16, and then we'll be done for today. Jesus said this, "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons." I cast out demons, by the way. I see way more deliverances than I do healings. Don't know why. Maybe I have more faith for it. Who knows? "They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents." Not going to happen with this fella. Not going to pick up a snake. I kill snakes. Every single one I can kill, I'm going to kill them. Sorry. "They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So the normative expectation of our Savior is that we will lay our hands. This isn't apostles. It includes apostles, not limited to them. Doesn't limit itself to prophets. It's "these signs will accompany those who believe in my name." And the last thing he says, "they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So it's out there for you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's right there. It is available. Do you want it? I want it. Oh man, I want it. If you never lay your hands on somebody, you'll never see a healing. If you never pray for the sick, you'll never see a healing. I don't want to just witness this happening through other people or another people. I want to be the conduit, because Jesus says, if I believe in him, I'm going to lay my hands on the sick and they will recover. I've seen it through my own hands, but I haven't seen it like I want to, and you probably haven't either. So I hope this got you thinking today. I don't know what the response will be. It's okay. I don't preach for a response. I just try to honor the Lord, and I hope it's helped some of you. The last thing I'm going to say is don't let anything I've said today cause you to make excuses for not pressing in for faith to believe God for miracles and healings from your life. Everybody can take it up a notch. He is worthy of us pressing in for greater endowments of supernatural power for healings and miracles. And I hope that today you've been motivated to do so. We'll talk to you on the next episode of Mavericks and Misfits.
Have you read or listened to Jeff's book, Figuring It Out As I Go? Jeff reveals his own story of having grown up in the church, but walking away as a lost and empty teenager, only to be radically saved at the age of 24. He details his escape from narrow legalism and disbelief in the gifts of the Spirit as God led him from rebellion to redemption, out of religion, and into spiritual release. Pick up a copy of Figuring It Out As I Go on Amazon or wherever you buy books. You can also hear Jeff narrate it on audible.com. We will talk to you next week on the next episode of Mavericks and Misfits.